Berg, a double question here, a two-parter, if you will. What was your first year to start covering recruiting? And what was the first big-name recruit you recall that you covered?
Oh, that's easy. 2005 was really the first year I started covering recruiting. But one of the reasons why I got into recruiting, will answer your next question, I was working for Scout.com, being an intern, just going over to practice and getting quotes from Bobby Bowden, transcribing them, and sending them out. So it didn't get any more basic than that. Just stick my mic in there, transcribe the quotes, and send them to the publisher. And then around signing day, he asked me if I wanted to cover recruiting, and I didn't really know what recruiting was all about. Weird, knowing what my cousin does. So he asked me to go to Madison High School to cover a recruitment of a linebacker picking between Tennessee and Florida State, and his name was Geno Hayes. We were at this school. We were in the kid's coach's office, and he had a little get-together, and we go out in the classroom, and all his teammates are there, coaches, everybody's there. And they're supposed to come out with his mom and dad and make the decision. We're all sitting there waiting for Geno, and about 15, 20 minutes later, he comes out of the coach's office and doesn't look too happy, whispers something to the coach, goes back into the office. Coach says, hey, Geno and his parents are still talking it over. They'll be right out. Well, about an hour later, they begin to come out. No parents are there. No teammates are there. No assistant coaches are there. It's literally like me and somebody from the Tallahassee Democrat. And he sits down in the chair that he was going to announce from with two people in the entire classroom, and he signs his letter of intent. And he's like crying. And we're like, yeah, where are you going? And he looks up at us and said Florida State, and like that was it. Mom apparently really wanted him at Tennessee. He wanted to go to Florida State. There was a last-minute discussion that took place for almost 2 hours, and then he comes out crying and signs his LOI, and that was my first taste of recruiting.
Yeah, I sent the Tennessee bagman down there to pay him. Apparently it didn't work. I mean, that's why I knew you would mention this, so I just wanted to bring the bagman into it.
Yeah. No, that was I was like, wow. This is crazy.
So you thought, and you really had no background in recruiting, you thought, I guess they're all like this, right?
Yeah, I was just like, you know, you could just see recruiting is just different. In that moment, I could kind of see and what I was doing with the beat writers. Everybody on the beat was going to practice, sticking their mic in front of the players and Bobby Bowden, and then they go home and they essentially all write the same story. And I just saw with recruiting, I was younger. I just saw like a lane where I was like, oh, I could just work harder than everybody else and be good at, be good at this recruiting thing. And they don't really, so that's what I did. I just saw more of an opportunity. I never thought I was going to be like a great beat writer and make a name for myself that way. So I knew it had to be through recruiting.
After that, and it might have been 06, might have been 07. It was one of those 2 years. We had the infamous Fred Rouse. You and I talked about him before, but that was shortly thereafter, but maybe the next recruiting class.
Yeah, it might have been I graduated in 05, and it was definitely after I was gone. I don't know if he got there in 06 or 07, but yeah, that was right after that. He made it to campus, and it just kind of washed out from there. I remember talking to Drew Weatherford a year or two after Rouse was gone, and saying he remembered when Coach Bowden would throw him in the huddle and he would look over to the sidelines and be like, what are you doing? He doesn't know the plays. So even when he was there and he was on the field, it was a mess.
Yeah, we play that drop because I had him on signing day, and he was on the show, and he had everybody in America. He could have gone anywhere. He was Johnny Five Star personified. And he was at some sort of party. There was a lot of noise in the background, I could tell. But that's the clip. I don't know if you've heard the clip, but it's the clip we play all the time on the show. And it's him talking to me saying, it just came down to what Fred want to do. Yeah, what Fred want to do. Because everybody was – I mean, everybody wanted him. He could have called anybody in America and gone there, and obviously he chose to stay home. But, boy,
those recruitments can send a program, you know, those can be fork in the road commitments or recruitments for,
right,
for programs. I mean, think if Dalvin Cook didn't work out or Jameis Winston didn't work out for FSU. You know, when you have a chance at these elite, these number one players at their position, not only do you got to land them, but then, you know, if and when they do work out, they can be transcendent players. If they don't work out, they can kind of send your program in a whole different direction than you thought it was heading.
Does Florida State have on the roster now? And they've got guys that will play pro ball, so that's not what I'm suggesting. But do they have a transcendent type player on this roster?
They need that to be successful. I mean, any team that's winning 10 or 11 games right now has that player on the roster.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at it, it's normally at the quarterback position, but it can be at other positions. I think if Florida State's going to have that guy this year, and I'm not, you know, counting on it based on what we've seen, but, I mean, Cam Akers has it in him. Marvin Wilson has it in him, certainly. We saw him kind of evolve from each year, getting a little bit better, and now – If you count this going into year three as another step up for him, then we think he's going to be the total player and a potential, you know, first or second round draft pick if he continues to play the way he has. And but Cam Akers is a guy that, you know, we had all the hype in the world coming in, and for good reason, and he just hasn't really put together that anything that resembles what, you know, Florida State had seen from Dalvin Cook or Devontae Freeman.
Big Three Roll Up is launched every Thursday morning. I'll ask you this. How much talk is there about Tate Martell's girlfriend?
I got to ask Kev. I was just listening to Storm Surge, Kev's offshoot Miami Only podcast. And, you know, I think Tate Martell's riding, I think these guys, I don't think anybody's predicting him to start. I think he's riding the bench to start the season, just from listening to Kev.
Well, people were posting, and these were family pictures, nothing that's objectionable, of his girlfriend. She's very attractive, obviously. But even the females on Twitter yesterday were saying, Bill, if he isn't the starting quarterback, she's gone.
She's leaving.
This ain't happening. She's not sticking around just because of dude. It's the status of Tate Martell having five stars.
Right.
Will that be discussed?
I mean, this isn't Ohio State,
yeah,
where a nice, wholesome girl for the Midwest has your back through thick and thin. I mean, this is Miami, right?
Correct. Correct. It's very materialistic, right? Huh?
Yeah. On to the next. You know, whatever's hot right now. So once, she's just waiting for the depth chart to be released.
Seriously, like that is... So if I'm Tate, I make sure she doesn't have access to the depth chart. I cut off her internet access, Twitter. If she gets the hard copy of newspapers, I don't let her have any of that, you know?
Put her in the transfer portal.
Yeah. No, she's going to get the transfer portal on her own.
Back into the transfer portal. Yeah, hey, I don't know. I don't know. Tate Martell's Tate Martell's stay in Miami is going to be an interesting one way or another.
So, literally, you're saying down there, the sentiment is he's not even going to be the opening day starter.
Yeah, I was listening to Storm Surge, which is Kev's Kane podcast on the Big Three Roll-Up, and they had Manny Navarro on, who's with The Athletic, and he's covered the program since 98. And Manny, you know, they and everybody agreed with him that kind of Nikosi Perry is the guy that that everybody expects to start game one right now, barring something happening in camp.
Formerly known as Nintendo Perry, right?
Yeah, I mean, now that he's the starter, and, you know, my only hope to beat the Gators in week one, by the way, my only hope, I'm openly rooting for the Canes to beat the Gators in week one.
Tell everybody about the Big Three Roll-Up.
The Big Three Roll-Up, we're going to tape it about an hour from now. I think it's just going to be the three of us. There's a lot of Big Three talk that we want to get to, and we've had some guests on as of recently, so we just need to some good old-fashioned arguing time this week. So we're going to go at it. Every Thursday, you guys can listen. It drops on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google, wherever you guys get your podcast.
Good stuff, Berg. See you next week, man.
See you, Bill.